You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up Monday morning after 8, Erica Janik hosts a Wisconsin Life holiday special. It's a celebration of holiday food, family traditions, and the joys of winter in Wisconsin. That's Monday morning after 8 here on the Ideas Network. Now, since taking the bench over a year ago, Dane County Circuit Court Judge Everett Mitchell has described himself as a people's judge. In a new column, he's speaking out about using compassion and patience in his role to stop what he calls the prison pipeline. He's also a pastor of Christ the Solid Rock Baptist Church on Madison's East Side. Judge Mitchell, thanks a lot for joining us in the studio.
Thank you all so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about the prison pipeline. What do you mean by that?
So what I'm trying to really articulate is that in at least in Dane County, and I suspect otherwise, what we have is a pipeline from what I call child welfare to juvenile delinquency to adult prison pipeline. So it is a continuation of taking like traumatized young people who have experienced the removal because of parental abuse or other kinds of things in which they have not had the kind of care that they needed. And then they get processed through these continual systems of being moved around the state, eventually ended up in juvenile delinquency courts, and then ultimately it is almost like a true pathway that they end up in adult incarceration.
And you wrote that your first days on the bench left you feeling kind of frustrated about this. What were you seeing? What were you feeling as these kids came into your court?
Well, one, you would see very traumatized children. You would see young women who had been victims of sex trafficking. You would see young men who had grown up in all kinds of, you know, isolated situations, no mother, no father, had been through multiple systems and ended up in the juvenile delinquency system and trying to figure out what do you do with a child that nobody wants and has no home to go to. And in many ways, that is not the systems that many of us think about. Many of us come from, you know, places where you at least have someone who will answer the phone while you're in court. But a lot of these children didn't even have, they came to court alone by themselves. No grandmother, no father, no aunt, uncle, brother, sister. They were just alone. And so that was gut-wrenching because you're asking yourself, how are these children going to be able to ever direct themselves in a positive way if they don't have anyone in their lives to do so?
And I imagine over the course of a week or a month, you might see some of those kids at a younger age, and then you might be seeing the adults making their way to prison now and looking back and saying, well, that kid is grown up in a few years.
Yeah, you know, my work with Madison Area Urban Ministry, working with men and women who were returning from prisons, all of them had the same trauma narratives that I'm seeing in these young people. And so that's why I'm being very attentive to, you know, what I do in court, what I say, how I say it, because I don't want to feed that trauma narrative. I don't want to make it worse. If anything, I want to make it better.
So how do you start to talk to these kids in your court and work with them to get them out of that pipeline?
Well, the first thing we had to do was I had to push for the removal of handcuffs off the kids. You know, at that time, there was a kind of blanket policy that you would bring children who were in detention with handcuffs. And, you know, the more the studies tell us about trauma and the ACE scores, adverse childhood experiences, it tells you can't just, you know, place those children in handcuffs like that. And so that was one act that I, you know, that really helped the kids feel safer, that when they come into court that they can, you know, don't have to come in there feeling like, you know, an adult criminal.
How old are we talking about here, coming in handcuffs?
Well, you know, in Wisconsin, you can start at the age of 10 years old. So I think I saw the youngest was like 11. And 11 years old.
Do you feel like, you know, when a kid is coming into the court in handcuffs at age 11, there's a sense that, yeah, we've already given up on you?
I think that's the message that they receive, is that we've already given up on them.
And you, in your writing, you've talked about trying to bring the kids in on their own plan, and not just, here's what the court is going to do for or to you, but how can you work with us? What kind of things do you talk to kids about?
You talk about their entire life. So you talk about what do they need to manage their anger? What do they need for school? What do they need in order to make sure that they don't, you know, steal cars or go back into that criminal behavior? A lot of the stuff that these children do is criminal damage to property or disorderly conduct because, you know, they act out. And when they act out in various settings, that's what gets them the first trigger. So we're trying to ask them, what do you need in order to not get angry and not get so upset in those settings? And they are creative. I mean, the kids come up with all kinds of stuff from like, give me a fidget, or just let me go play basketball, or just, you know, give me just a few minutes to gather my thoughts. And And those ideas have really led to a reshaping of how I really approach dealing with our young people.
We're talking to Dane County Circuit Court Judge Everett Mitchell. He says we need to treat kids with more compassion and keep them out of a prison pipeline. And we're talking about how he tries to do that. So, I mean, with a kid, there's so many different things going on. The trauma you talked about, maybe neglect, no adult that they can look to support them or even call from a courtroom. It seems like there'd be so many different things that need to happen to help them. What, as a judge, do you think there are those resources out there for them?
Well, one of the reasons I accept interviews like this and other places is because I don't think people talk about the child welfare system enough. You know, until I took the bench, I really didn't understand it. And most people, if you were to ask them casually about it, they don't understand it. And if we're going to be serious about, you know, reducing disparities and, you know, changing the narrative as relates to, you know, Wisconsin being the kind of the worst in disparities related to incarceration, we really do have to do a deeper dive into the child welfare system. And I suspect that if it's that way in Dane County, then other pockets, you know, whether it's in Milwaukee or Kenosha, Racine, up north, you know, we'll find similar patterns. And I really do want us to get ahead of this because, you know, with the opioid epidemic, I'm seeing a number of children who are born to with mothers and fathers who are addicted, and they're losing, you know, parents are passing away, and with these children who are born addicted to these drugs. So I'm really concerned about making sure that we have more transparent and deeper education around what child welfare looks like.
We've heard talk about the idea of more trauma-informed care for people often in this kind of situation. The First Lady of Wisconsin, Tonette Walker, has been talking this up around the state. Are you encouraged by hearing things like that?
Yeah, but I want them to... I'm glad they have trauma-informed care. What I want them to take the next step is trauma-informed practices and let the practices that we do that engage people who have dealt with trauma, make sure our practices reflect what is the best that we're looking for as it relates to their trauma.
When you're a judge, I mean, you're just getting a real snapshot of a kid's life here. I mean, they're in front of you in a courtroom for, I don't know, half an hour, I'm guessing.
But the thing is, as a juvenile judge, you get way more information. It's not adult court. Adult court, you really do get a snapshot. But in juvenile, I get their entire history. So I know what they have been through. I know where a foster home they've been with. I know how many, what kind of cases have brought them before the court, all the removals. I get all of that history. So while, and then, you know, I choose how much time I want to spend with them. So if it's a meaningful conversation, then I can budget enough time for us to have meaningful conversations. And, you know, 35 minutes, an hour in the life of a teenager, if they had talked to you, then you understand that is a crucial and beneficial time.
And you mentioned foster homes, and it seems like that's got to be an important part of the story here. Do we have enough foster parents in Wisconsin? Are they getting the training, the help they need?
Yeah. I think the foster parents do a wonderful job, and we have wonderful caretakers in our community, and we're lucky for that. I think what we don't have are options like group homes in Dane County. So we have no group homes in Dane County. So that means that judges are limited in where we can place children who have these trauma-related needs. And so you get left with options or either up north or out of state, or Lincoln Hills becomes a default location when you don't have a place to put a child that doesn't have a home to go to.
We've heard a lot of stories and talked on the show a lot about Lincoln Hills, the youth correctional facility. We've heard from judges in Milwaukee County that they're reluctant to send kids up there because of stories of abuse and neglect, safety issues for the residents there and for staff. I mean, do you hesitate before sending kids up there?
I think you have to do a balancing test. You know, when I went, when I took the bench, I took my staff up to Lincoln Hills so we could see it and visit. And when I saw some of the places inside Lincoln Hills, you know, there were a lot of things that concerned me. There were a lot of things that concerned me about some of the young men and education. And what I try to do to the young men and women who come to my court is say, you know, I'm not going to place you at Lincoln Hills. You're going to go to Lincoln Hills, and you're going to make the choice to do so, because my preference is to work to get you the resources you need so that you never have to go to a place like Lincoln Hills. And if they're making progress, if they happen to be at Lincoln Hills and they're making progress, I'll bring them back home and we'll put them on county supervision just so they can, you know, get back into the rhythm of being a teenager, go to prom, you know, go to basketball games, get on the basketball team, because I really value education, because I believe a lot of these children, without access to education, they will never be successful.
I imagine one goal, when it's possible, is to get a kid with a family member, a parent, a grandparent, whatever. Is there help out there for those situations where, because of addiction, say, that's not an option today, but maybe it is in a year?
I think that's what we're trying to gather more information. I just don't see we have enough of that in our communities. We have a lot of resources here. The question is whether or not our resources are geared toward addressing that the deep levels of trauma and pain and really giving them the continual culturally diverse experiences and treatment providers that they need so they can feel safe and begin to work through those levels of trauma.
Dane County Circuit Court Judge Everett Mitchell is in our studio with us now to talk about how he's working to end the prison pipeline in Wisconsin. Kids dealing with trauma in their lives may be entering in a path that ends up in prison. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are there changes you want to see in Wisconsin's court system? Is sentencing, you think, too tough or not tough enough when it comes to kids? Have you worked with this? Has this been a part of your life? Were you as a kid in the legal system, the correctional system, or do you work with kids who are maybe on that path? Love to hear from you at 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation here on Central Time in just a couple minutes. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now about Wisconsin's prison pipeline. Judge Everett Mitchell is with us in the studio. He's a Dane County Circuit Court judge. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions, your comments, maybe your experiences. Have you had an experience with Wisconsin's criminal justice system, maybe as a youth or a parent? What do you think about this call for a compassionate approach, trying to figure out, help solve problems of trauma and related issues with kids to keep them out of prison in the long run? Call 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll go to our callers now. Travis is with us in Madison. Travis, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to tell us about, Travis?
So I work at a school called the GROW Academy, which is a Department of Juvenile Corrections facility. It's a residential program for teenage boys. And it's a sort of agricultural science-based curriculum. I run garden programming, so right now we're doing a lot of indoor gardening. I just wanted your guest to comment on the GROW Academy, if he's familiar, or programs like the GROW Academy that can help reduce this school-to-prison pipeline problem.
Travis, thanks for the call. Judge Mitchell?
Yeah, I think Travis has a couple of my kids. I've had a couple of my kids because I think the GROW Academy provides a different, woodworking, as you talked about, agricultural. I mean, they're doing some very fantastic ways in which to get kids embodied and doing different ways in which getting back in nature. And what he's talking about is true. Like, we need more GROW Academies to give kids different types of experiences so that we don't have to necessarily send them incarcerate them. We can re-educate them with new skills, new talents, new relationships. When I go out to the graduations of the young men that I have in my court, I mean, it's fantastic to see these kids who come from urban places like Chicago talking about the urban farm, the farming, and they got this water aquifers, and they're growing, celery and all these different things with fish and aquaponics. So we just need more options like that so that these children can be re-educated in a different way.
And it took some creative thinking probably for someone to start that program.
It was. I mean, it was very intuitive. And I think that's what the best of Wisconsin has to offer, all of the great resources and values and systems that we have within our communities. If we can use those things to kind of marshal a different path for these children, we will find them able to respond. Because some of these young men I saw respond in ways that, the nurturing in that space really did offer them a different path, and they changed dramatically because of that expectation.
Travis, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go next to Scott on the line in Nisida. Scott, hi.
Hey, I'm calling back there in 1981. I was 14 years old. I went to Lincoln Hills as party to a crime of armed robbery that another guy did. They put me in an M cottage right away. I ended up staying there until I was 18 and a half. I escaped three different times. The fence is actually up because of me. The thing is, Lincoln Hills, now that I'm older, the thing that it led up to I got, after 4 years in Lincoln, I got out, and I was out a year, and I was in prison for murder for 25 years. So after 16 years, I've now been out for 20 years, and I know now, looking back, how much Lincoln could have helped me if I would have followed what they were trying to do. I was rebelling against, I can see it now, and when they talk about closing Lincoln, I think that's just a horrible thing. It needs to be readjusted to go back to the kind of goals and the kind of people they had working there when I was there, and it could be dramatically helpful. I can tell you, out of 4 years in Lincoln Hills, the only people that I saw in prison, and I was in all of them, was three. Nobody else in Lincoln while I was there ended up in the adult system that I saw. So they were doing something right.
Scott, thanks for the call. And Lincoln Hills has changed since he was there. It was merged with Ethan Allen, I think, when that was closed. So maybe a different scene there now. But are there lessons you think we could take and apply at a facility like Lincoln Hills that might keep people from ending up in adult prison?
Well, I think Scott is bringing up a very important point, depending on where he's from. I mean, it's local resources. So I think, you know, having children 2, 3, 4 hours away from their primary families, their mothers can't get to them. There are other things that you need to have in place so that these children still stay connected to their communities for longer than so. That, you know, we're making some changes, and I'm hopeful that moving forward we'll have more changes.
Scott, thanks for that call. We're talking to Everett Mitchell. He's a Dane County Circuit Court judge. He says we need to do more to help keep kids facing trouble, kids who end up in the court system, from ending up on a prison pipeline. Back to our calls now at 800-642-1234. Lori is with us in Madison. Lori, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Lori?
I wanted to say that I used to work at Ethan Allen School for Boys, and that was about 35 years ago. Mm. I honestly don't see much change since that time. I am not a supportive person of the penal system. I believe that we could deal with kids that are in trouble in smaller units, residential treatment programs, programs that are close to families and that involve the families. When I worked at Wales, there were two psychologists for hundreds of residents. There was not treatment. It was penal. It was punishment. And what they called youth counselors were actually prison guards. They were not trained in counseling. They were guards. They were just called a different name because they work with young people.
Lori, thanks a lot for that call. Two issues there. She brings up mental health care. Mm-hmm. Not much of it she saw back in that time. And she says smaller facilities would work better.
Yeah, the biggest issues that we still see is the access to, you know, quality mental health treatment for a lot of them, because they need real-time quality health. And not just psychiatrists who prescribe medicine, but people who can actually walk these children through the level of trauma that they need. And that's why we always talk about bringing them closer to their home environments, because, you know, in Dane County, if we had to send a kid away, you basically send them away from a rich place that has a lot of access to diverse therapeutic environments that could really be helpful to them.
Thanks a lot for that call, Lori. We'll go next to Mary on the line in Cedarburg. Mary, hi.
Hi. Listen, I was a foster parent starting in 2000, and I have a great story. My daughter is now in her last year of college, going to be a social worker, but we could only adopt her until she was 18 and could make the choice herself. I want to know what's being done about termination of parental rights, because during her whole in and out of the foster care system, that was never an option.
Mary,
so what
thanks.
Can a judge do about it?
Mary, thanks for that call. So you can't adopt a kid unless their parents terminate their parental rights. And it sounds like in this case, she was a foster parent, but the foster child's birth parents presumably wouldn't sign off on that.
Yeah, it's not something they voluntarily consent to. They can voluntarily consent to terminate their rights. Most of the times, if a child has been out of home for 15 out of 22 months, that is normally a trigger where they could move to terminate the parental rights. But if the parent is trying to make progress on what they call conditions of return, as long as they're making progress, then typically counties and states try not to immediately move toward that. There's a whole lot of disagreement about what does it mean and how often you should be terminating parental rights based on the age of a child. But basically, for mostly, that's what we kind of or looking for to see if the parent is going to move toward any kind of progress before, you know, counties file for terminate those parental rights.
Mary, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Ann on the line in Madison. Ann, briefly, we're just about out of time. What did you want to bring up?
Hi, I'm not able to be a foster parent, but I like to volunteer and help people. What kind of things could I do to help kids in the foster system?
Well, I think one of the things you could do is, you know, support what I always call like book drives and support places that deal with children. So there are a lot of organizations that do deal with children. I love Madison Area Urban Ministry is one organization that I know works with parents who works with children who have a parent that's incarcerated. You can volunteer to work with those children when they go to Tichita to visit their mothers. You know, those little activities like that, being present in those spaces, really do assist in very powerful ways.
Thanks for the call, Ann. And Judge Mitchell, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
That was Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell. We've been talking about Wisconsin's prison pipeline and efforts to keep kids who end up in the legal system as kids from ending up in prison as adults.